Good morning. You listening to everybody talk this morning? I went through a lot of the same things, like Sister Eileen was saying. It's hard to miss that first time, but it gets easier and easier and easier. And I think about when I was in college. I first went to college in, I guess, Central Missouri. And I didn't know of any churches right around me at the time, and I didn't have sense enough to look. I wound up going to church with some friends of mine, and it kept me in the habit of going to church. But I think I mainly went because the preacher's wife fed us at her house every Sunday after church. For a 17, 18-year-old boy, that was pretty nice getting away from college food. But I always appreciated what they did for me. And then Brother Earl's talking, I don't think I ever ran across a Primitive Baptist chaplain in the Army, and it's hard to get much scriptural stuff out of an Army chaplain because they've watered them down so bad. I don't even know if they can even pray in the name of Jesus anymore. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, and it gets worse and worse for those guys. But I remember, I guess, when I came back home to Louisiana going to college, there was a lot of Sundays that I wanted to miss, and I guess I don't know if this was the right reason to go or not, but I knew how disappointed my grandmother would be if I wasn't there in church. If Mama Eb didn't see me there, she'd want to know why I wasn't there. So I'd make sure I tried to make that hour drive or so, if for nothing else, just to get there for her. And I don't know, it probably wasn't just for her. I'm sure the Lord was leading me back to her to be with her and be in church. We had made a road trip up to Lubbock for New Year's Eve for a singing. We had a good time. It was a blessing. Everybody made it home safe. And I told Brother Gary this. Now I'll tell y'all, I wouldn't trade any other church in the world for what we have right here, for the love I feel here. I don't care if it's 100 people, 1,000 people in there. The love that me and my family have felt here is, you don't know how special it is. Well, you do know how special it is because you feel it with each other. But I would never trade that for anything. Me and Brother Kenny got into a discussion, and I didn't realize how intense a person Brother Kenny is until I got down one-on-one with him. And he laid some pretty heavy stuff on my heart and my mind, and I've been struggling with it. You can ask Tracy. I've been struggling with it all week. I've been trying to find a way to talk about it, and I've been fighting myself. And what he had kind of laid on me was, why do our churches seem to be falling away? Why we don't have more people coming, or what happens to our churches, or where our people go? And when I tell you I've been struggling with it, I mean, I've been struggling with it hard trying to come up with stuff. I tried to call Brother Ed yesterday to ask him some questions. I couldn't get a hold of him. But it's, you get caught up when you get to think about it, because it's not a numbers game. You know, I've got some, let me find, if you notice, I brought my notebook with me this morning because I'm not blessed enough to be able to remember every scripture I want to go to, so I have to scribble them down to try to keep me somewhat in line. And these are, in Psalms 127, and I'm skipping around a lot, but the first verse, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. So the Lord has to be in whatever you're doing and building your house. And, you know, whether it's this house or your home, if the Lord's not in your home and your home life, then you labor in vain. And then over in Ephesians chapter 2 and 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. So this house, you know, we're built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ, who we know is the chief cornerstone of our house and of this church and of our doctrine and what we believe. And without that, nothing else matters, does it? If he's not the chief architect in your life or the chief builder in your house or your church home, nothing else really matters. Because it doesn't matter if you've got 1,000 people or what we've got here. If you don't have that first, then the rest of it really doesn't matter. One of the things that, you know, I talked about with him, and I talked with Brother Gary about it some Wednesday night, is, you know, it seems like a lot of times, though, you know, we don't talk about what we believe with other people. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but we don't share it that much. And I got to looking at how we should be teaching our children and felt I'm not doing a very good job of that when you go through the scriptures. And then, you know, what we actually believe and what this church professes to believe in. And I got to looking, that's why I asked you for this morning, Brother Gary. I've been looking on the website, the articles of faith of this church. I don't know who first put these down and recorded them, or, you know, what year they were done. I know that, I guess the church here was constituted in 1933, I think. So I'm assuming they did them then. But really knowing and being able to say what you believe and what this church believes in. And it was interesting. I was doing a little research. You know, most of the articles of faith for different printed Baptist churches are pretty much the same. You know, there may be a little bit different here and there. But then you get to going back, and I found some from churches that were like in England in 1655 and, you know, early 1800s. And they believe just like we believe now. You know, the God's the same today as was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And the things that they believed are the same things that we believed. And I would encourage you to either go on the website or get a copy of it and really study the articles of faith to show you what this church stands for and what it believes in. And one of the things I did like about whoever wrote this one, they put the scriptures out beside what it was that makes it a little easier to go dig and study on. And then there's some things about the way that we should act. And you always, whenever I'm talking about something like this, I get nervous. A lot of the reason is because you feel like they'll say you're preaching to the choir because you're here. You know, the people that might need to hear this are the ones that aren't here, or the ones that have fallen away. So you feel like you don't want anybody to feel like you're fussing at them because, yeah, you're sitting there saying, hey, I'm here today. You know, that's what I believe, or I wouldn't be here. And, yeah, that's true. But maybe you can go out and share some of this with somebody that wasn't here today. Over in Titus, where was I at? Yeah, the second chapter of Titus. You know, it kind of lays out how we should act with each other. But I'm just going to read like the second or the first through about the eighth verse. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And you notice this covers, I got in trouble with one of these verses one time with my mother-in-law, and you ought to be able to figure out which one it was pretty quick. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. My mother-in-law didn't appreciate when I called her an aged woman when I was reading scripture to her one time. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, there's a lot in those, and it shows a relationship to how the older people in the church should interact with the younger people in the church and how the younger people should act. You know, we're here, you know, to teach each other and share with each other and just the way we should interact with one another. You know, if you notice, you know, it charges the age or the more senior women in the church that they teach the young women, and the aged men be sober, sound in faith, and in patience. I'm not calling you an aged woman, Sister Eileen. But do you see the relationship there of how we should teach one another and how we should interact with each other? And, you know, I think one of the things that I've really noticed since we've been here, especially how y'all try to teach the girls, you know, and how, you know, no one had ever really sat down and tried to teach them that before, especially with the singing, and how they've responded and how they've reacted to it. You know, and that's what this is talking about. Let's see. And, you know, how we should, and, you know, what we should teach. And if you go over to 2 Timothy, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we know this is what we should be teaching one another out of, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. If you look in, let's see, I'm really glad you had this here, because I wrote them all down, but then I went back and was trying to read my writing, and it wasn't good. The second article of faith in here, we believe that Scripture of the Old and New Testament are divine, are of divine authority and the only rule of faith and practice. So that goes with, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know this is the only tool that we believe we should be using in the service. You know, we don't have any outside books or outside things or traditions that we use to teach and preach out of. This is it. This is what we should be doing. This is the, you know, the one of the, we know that Jesus is the cornerstone of our house, and this is the instruction manual for our house. This is what it's built on. And what really kind of got me when I was looking, you know, we have a word in industry, and I mean, everybody knows it, but complacency. You know, I think, you know, we do get complacent in our worship, in our service sometimes. You know, we think a lot of times, well, somebody else will take care of that, or somebody else will handle that. And, you know, what's that old, somebody thought anybody was going to do it, so nobody did it. And I really got to looking at how I'm supposed to be teaching my children. In Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, that's pretty consuming, isn't it? That's a lot of time. And there's a lot of good, and you have to bear with me as I hit these. I did a lot of digging. I guess is it cheating, Brother Gary, to use the Bible websites and Bible tools on the computer to dig? It sure does make it a lot easier, though, doesn't it? Because I'm bad about that. I know pretty much what it says, but I just can't go to it. In Proverbs, we've all heard this, 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But if you're not doing, but I guess part of the trick is knowing the way he should go. And that's where, our obligation is to study and to know what we believe and know where to find it in here. And, the children, they don't get off scot-free. Over in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou may live long on the earth. And there's In trying to come up with an answer, Brother Kenny didn't charge me to go out and solve all the problems of primitive Baptist churches in the world. But I've really struggled with how to look at this and how to present it. And kind of the way I looked at it was, one, I don't know if it's an old absolute belief in some people that, if somebody wants to come to church, the Lord's going to lay it on their heart to come to church. So we don't share. And I don't think that's necessarily anybody here, but I think it's out there. Two, sometimes we don't know. We've come to church so long and we've just come to church that we really don't know what we believe to share with others, so we don't share. And once again, the ones that are here do. And I guess this message is for more of the ones that aren't here. But, just knowing what your church believes in. And three, sometimes we do get complacent, and you have to maintain what you have before you grow. And, if this is what I need to do to keep my children from falling away, then that's what I have to do. And try to be better myself in teaching them what our doctrine is. And they have a pretty good understanding of it, but just instilling it in them. Because we do have a very simple, loving doctrine. It's not complicated, is it? It's not anything that's hard to figure out. For some people, it's hard to grasp. And I think, that's the influence of the world and the arrogance of the world when we say that there's nothing we can do and we just can't accept that as men, that we think that we ought to be able to influence everything there is. And, I don't know if I ever told this story to y'all, but I don't know how many of y'all knew what I majored in college. I was an anthropology major because I wanted to be an archaeologist. And you want to, there's not much more of a liberal education than you can get as a cultural anthropology person in a liberal university like me and my wife went to. And, the world in that, it came at me pretty hard. I could tell you, because I had to, I had to pass classes, and I knew I didn't believe what they were teaching me, but I still had to be able to recite, and to them it was almost like a religion. I guess it was their religion, but, I could tell you the first bipedal man that supposedly crawled out of East Africa 10 million years ago, whatever it was, and things like that. And if I hadn't had the influence of people like my grandmother, who was an aged woman who taught me, and my mom and my dad, and the loving church that I had there, if I hadn't had that influence, it'd have been real easy to fall away. and to fall into the world. So, you know, I don't know if I've answered any of the questions I had even in my own mind by doing this, but I do think I have a little clearer path of what I need to do, and maybe sharing what we believe with those who have a desire to serve the Lord but don't know where to serve and don't know how to serve and what to do. But you can tell they've had that on their, they've got it on their hearts that the Lord has laid it on there. They need somewhere to go. I'm not charging us to be missionaries or anything else like that. But, you know, we do. And I find myself, especially in work environments and especially when I was in the military, it's easy to get caught up in some rough conversations and rough living to act. I don't know, I could still consider myself a young man, Sister Eileen. I know you're looking at me. But like he told us in Titus, how to act around other people and how to display yourself as a child of God and as a primitive Baptist man. And hopefully, I feel like I've rambled, and like I say, I've never struggled with anything trying to talk about something like I did this, and maybe I shouldn't have just talked about it at all, but I felt led to. But hopefully you can take something out of this. Go back and read. Find a copy of your Articles of Faith and read it. And try to go back and study the scriptures that go with it. And hopefully you can do a better job at answering these questions than I have this morning. But I hope you did get something out of this morning. Nothing else, you got a couple of good stories out of it anyway. But I do hope you'll go forth and have a good week, and I hope the Lord blesses you and keeps you until we meet back here again together.